Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about something new among us. And before we do that, I'm going to play a little song for you. This song was done by Terry DeSetta, who is a lady that used to work with me in missions, her and her husband Julio. They've been to the church before. So let me read this scripture first. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness and create rivers in a dry wasteland. Now he says, do you not see it? They were in a wasteland. They didn't see it with their physical eyes. He was saying, do you see it in your eyes of faith? So let's listen to this little song. We got it, guys? Okay? We used to sing this song a lot in the mission that I worked with.
You are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. Behold, I will do something new among you. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Yes, I will do something new. Do not call to mind the former things, and do not dwell on the past. Do not call to mind the former things, and do on the past. For behold, I will do something new among you. Now it will spring forth. You'll not be aware of it. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers.
Ever a time that my Messiah Christian could relate to being in the desert, it's probably now. But that doesn't concern God. It concerns us, but not God. Next slide. All right. And what I'm going to share with you really comes from a message I heard years ago. It comes from an African-American preacher named Benjamin Reeves. And the message was called Living Expectantly. And he puts forth a concept that I'd never heard before. He said that sometimes we can be prisoners of a positive past. And here's what he says. No question, Israel's God had done great things in the past, but there was a problem. Israel was living on past blessings, locked in the prison of the past, locked in a hideabout faith that only looked back and ceased to expect anything greater from God. He goes on and says, are we modern children of God any different? Have we lived too long in the glow of past blessings, warming ourselves with the flicker flame of past accomplishments? Are we subsisting on the crumbs of spiritual nostalgia? Awesome statement, isn't it? If we go on to the next slide, if we allow ourselves to move into this mentality, we'll try to find ourselves replicating the past. If you look at this picture, you can gaze on the western horizon, and I don't care how long you gaze that way, the sun's never going to come back up that way because it's gone. The only way you're going to see that sun again is look east. And you're going to see the sun coming back up again. What happens with us? We get so appreciative of what God has done that we lose sight of the fact that sometimes we have to make a little adjustment to see Him move again. Have we started to live in the afterglow of previous miracles and blessings? Are we existing on spiritual nostalgia? You answer that question for yourself. Next slide. It's like being an old athlete who sits around, who's lost his reflexes and legs, and he sits around thinking about how good the old times were. Okay? Reverend Reeves says that many churches have become pessimist, and he defines that as a church who believes that things are going to work out, but when they do, it's going to be too late. They sometimes find themselves only going through the motions. Next slide. Let me walk you down memory lane now. God did a good thing in Messiah. You remember the sanctuary was not this way, it was this way. You remember? It was up there. If you were back there, you almost felt like you need a pair of binoculars, you know, to see Joe. Okay? God brought together a group of people who were at the top of their game, spiritually, financially. We didn't have any problems with finances. We didn't have a struggle that most churches had. It was fun. I used to tell this story. There was a pastor in this little town, had a church, and his church caught on fire, and they had a bucket brigade, and the pastor looked behind him and saw a guy he didn't know, and he said to him, I've never seen you around here before. He says, your church never been on fire before. Joe loved that story. We have a few people less here this morning, as Sue made us aware of. I'm sure we were all aware of that. Many people have left this church. I've heard through the grapevine, that many people are out there looking for a new Messiah. Well, I hate to burst their bubble, but but it ain't out there. Excuse the English. And it ain't even here. And maybe it's not supposed to be. You know, I come from a little town in western Pennsylvania. We had a day in the year called Kennywood Park Day. Kennywood was one of the original amusement parks, you know, wooden roller coasters. And every day in that little town, there was only 3 days in the year that everything shut down: Christmas, Easter, and Kennywood Day. And everyone went to Kennywood. A few years back, I thought, said to my wife, it'd be fun to go back again. You know what? It wasn't the same. I didn't see a lot of the people that I knew before. Some of them were gone. And the people I probably saw, I didn't recognize, because we had all changed. You see, we need to remember our roots. I talked to some of the people who were here last week. I said, we need to honor the people who were our founders. But we remember the past as a springboard for the future, not to replicate it. Because God is always moving on. He doesn't forget you. But if we have our eyes on something and God has his eyes on something else, we can miss what God is saying to us. My best friend passed about 15 years back now. And we used to love to get together. And we would talk about the old times, you know. And we would tell these stories. And every 2 years we'd get together. And we'd tell the same story and laugh like we never heard it before. And our wives would look at each other and say, didn't they tell that story the last time? And it was okay. But you can't live in that. Living in the past is delusional, because the past is gone. We only have the present and the future. And that's what I believe God wants us to dwell on. The next slide. Gideon. God often does new math. He does it. He does addition by doing subtraction. You remember the story? You see, Gideon didn't have a problem. He was outnumbered, but he had a problem. He had too many people, and God had to winnow it down to 300 people. Maybe we have too many people here today. I just saw Lee's heart just turn over in his chest when I said that. The great need in the church today, in my opinion, is for discipleship. We don't need more new truth. We need to apply the truth we already have. What did Jesus do? He started with 12, and then he really had 3. He built a mega church, but he did it by investing in a small group of people. And out of that small group of people, he multiplied a worldwide movement. Could God be doing something like that among our midst? I don't know. Like I told you, I'm not a prophet. When Jesus fed the 5,000, when he did the miracles, everybody followed him. When he started saying, take up your cross and follow me, a lot of people left. Because people don't want to hear about, we want to hear about the cross when it's salvation. But when it's take up your cross and follow me, come on, Lord, you know, let's talk about something else. But that's the crux of discipleship. Before God goes large, he always goes small. Because discipleship is always done on the basis of relationship. You can't have relationship with the back of someone else's head. You can't. Let's go on to the next slide. What should we do if we look into the mirror and in a small or large way we see ourselves living in the past? Well, we should do what Paul did. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I have focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling me. There seems to be a pattern in the Bible. Unless we're really willing to let go of the past, we can never get to the future. And those things may be negative things, the things we failed at. Read my book. We all fail. But we need to forget those and move on with God. But also, we need to forget the positive things sometimes and look to what God wants to do new. Both negative and positive can be counterproductive for us hearing a new word from God and what he wants to do. Almost every new revival in the church has always been resisted by the previous one. Do you know that? The charismatics, who was standoffish of the charismatics? It was the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals had the same theology, but it was just different. The mainline church opened their doors more than the Pentecostals did. And you know, it's very easy to do that just because this is how we've always done it. What are the things that we have to relinquish sometimes? There are sacred cows. I'm not going to mention what they might be, but think about it. What are our sacred cows that we have now? Sometimes if you brought things up, you might think that you would be thought as speaking heresy. But maybe not. John Wooten, the great basketball coach from USA, said, "Failure is never final, but failure to change may be." Again, maybe we should think about what are our sacred cows that we have now. You know, bylaws are good. Every organization needs structure. But bylaws aren't scripture. When the bylaws were made, it was actually a different culture than now, if you think about it. And so, if we see something that we're doing that's not working now, maybe we say bye, B-Y-E, to the bylaws, or some of them anyway. Now, I know I'm getting on shaky grounds here, but think about it. Think about it. Next slide. Esther, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know the story of Esther. Mordecai, her uncle, heard about a plot to destroy the Jews that was hatched by the advisor of the king, Haman. And he told Esther about it. And he encouraged her to tell the king. But there was a problem. If she went into the king's presence without him inviting her, it could mean her death. Mordecai told her, if she doesn't do it, God will raise up someone else to deliver his people. But then he gave that famous statement, but who knows whether you come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether God has raised up Messiah for such a time as this? Is there a plot out there in the world today? Turn on the news. Turn on the news. Who would have thought in 2003, I think, or something like that, when this church was formed, it was 18 years ago, that we would have to defend that a man is a man and a woman is a woman? God said he created male and female in his own image. Any misinformation about this is a direct attack on the character of God. That's what we're seeing today. I read recently that a Christian research ministry found that 60% of the adults under 40 do not believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. 60% of born-again Christians between the ages of 18 and 39 in America believe there is no difference between Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad. They are all valid paths to salvation. We got a mission field right here in front of our face in the church. How do we respond to that? We speak the truth in love. We've made a mistake in the past of speaking the truth, but not in love, and that doesn't work. Edmund Burke once said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Has God raised up Messiah Christian Church to be a voice of crying in the wilderness, repent and turn to God? Maybe. We are told what will happen in the last days. Unrighteousness will arise, but much more does grace. That's what's going to happen in the last days. You're going to see more and more evil, but you're going to see more and more grace as God called us to be a voice crying in the wilderness. Repent and turn to God. Yes, it is going to get worse, I believe. Pastor John sort of hit on that quite a few times. But if God is for us, who can be against us? There's always a cost for speaking truth. You won't bring it on yourself because you don't want it. But if we are that voice, it'll bring the wrath of the world down upon us. And we, if we ever move in that direction, we need to count the cost. But I believe God wants to raise up a voice in the last days to say, a man is a man, and a woman is a woman. Period. And you know what will happen when you say that in the marketplace or outside of the four walls of this church. It's easy to say it here. But when we get outside there, there's a mentality out there that's the antithesis of God's mentality. And any church, not just Messiah, needs to be a light in darkness. Let's look at the next slide. We're already there. Let me finish with a story that Reverend Reeves told at the end of his message. He told about a little boy and his father. He said he was just a little fellow. His mother died when he was just a child. His father's trying to be mommy and daddy and had planned a picnic. The little boy had never been on a picnic, so they made their plans, fixed their lunch, and packed the car. Then it was time to go to bed, for the picnic was the next day. The son just couldn't sleep. He tossed and turned, but the excitement got to him. Finally, he got out of bed, ran into the room where his father had already fallen asleep, shook him. His father woke up and saw his son. He said to him, "What are you doing up? What's the matter?" The boy said, "I can't sleep." The father asked, "Why?" In answering, the boy said, "Daddy, I'm excited about tomorrow." His father replied, "Well, son, I'm sure you are, and it's going to be a great day, but it won't be a great day if we don't get some sleep. So why don't you just run down the hall, get back in bed, and get a good night's rest?" So the boy trudged off down the hall in his room and got into bed. Before long, sleep came to the father. It wasn't long thereafter that the boy was back. He was pushing and shoving his father. His father opened his eyes. Harsh words almost blurted out until he saw the impression on the boy's face. The father asked, "What's the matter now?" His son said, "Daddy, I just want to thank you for tomorrow." And in all that we're facing, we need to latch on to that little boy's mentality. Tomorrow, for as I put up there, I think I did, for Christians, our best times are always in front of us. Even no matter what comes in this world, God will give us peace if we cling to Him. And then in the next. Teresa of Avila once said, "When God plants that first kiss on the back of our necks, all our trials in this world will seem like one day in a bad hotel." That's true. It'll put everything in perspective in our lives when we see Jesus. So it's all good. It's all what God has for us. Last slide. Are we prisoners of a positive past? Or is God doing something new among us? And as I said before, part of that scripture says, "Do you not see it now?" We're not seeing it now, and neither were the people that Isaiah was speaking to either. He was saying, "Can you see it by faith? Can you see past the reality of what we see in front of us?" I think that's who he's looking for. And you know what? That's never a big group. That's never a big group. He's looking for faith. What is faith? Let me give you the Barnes translation. What we don't see now, we will see in the future. It is as if it's already done. Hebrews chapter 11. It's as if it's already been done. Ask the Lord if God is doing something new among us. Ask him if he's done with us. God can take the hard questions. Don't just take my word for it. Seek God this week and ask God, is he doing something new among us? Because one word from God is better than all the words that I've spoken this morning. And that's what we need to do. We need to hear from God. And it's not just the elders. It's everybody needs to hear from God. What are you saying to us, Lord? And I believe we might just be amazed at what God says to us this morning.